All right, first up, we've got This Big Old Endless Sky with Am I the Ball and Chain?
Making plans for Nigel's crowning. Lives in a wonderland. Every day he wants to be a king. He'll chase that feeling. He's such a simpleton.
I've never mentioned this before, but the thing that I always key in on when I hear Gizzo singing is his Australian accent. It's just so prominent. And there's something about the A vowel on the word chain. It's like chain in Ball and Chain. And it's very distinctive. It's very Gizzo. And it makes me think about how sometimes when I sing, I affect an English accent, and this will probably make Mike snicker. And it's because of all of this British invasion music that I grew up listening. And that's just how a certain kind of magical pop sounds to me. It sounds vaguely British. I'm reminded of something that Crumpet said on Discord. She mentioned that in some of her earliest songs, she would put on a fake American accent. Just to try to sound idiomatic, I guess. And she looks back on that and kind of cringes a little bit. So I definitely admire Gizzo for leaning into his own voice and his own accent. But I might suggest that he just brings the vocals down maybe just like 4 dB because they are super prominent and maybe even too prominent in places like on the chorus. And speaking of this inspirational thing, I also noticed that Distance, who is also Gamma Man, is also an Australian, and he was inspired by Gizzo to sort of not mask his accent and to keep using his own accent. So I think it's cool that, you know, we have a number of Australians in the competition, and they're kind of reinforcing each other and, like, encouraging and inspiring each other. Just one of the really cool things about Spin Tunes. And Seabass, you can often rely on Seabass for funny quips. He quipped that the round 4 challenge should be to sing in an Australian accent, which I think would be hilarious. Spoiler alert, that's not the challenge, but I think that's really cool. In terms of the rest of the song, I like the song because it has guitars and attitude and it rocks. And being a man of a certain age, that sort of thing appeals to me. I think I caught a lot of the XTC references on first listen, because Nigel is just such an English name, and then we are all making plans for him. So lots of great energy in the song, and I think this song is strong enough to propel him into the final round. So congratulations, Giz.
I wish we had somebody on who could speak to accents of the Empire.
I thought it's quite interesting. We obviously get a lot of American TV, American films. And whenever you have an actor doing a British accent in an American TV or film, it's almost always a Canadian or an Australian. It's never a British person and it's never an American. Canadians and Australians do the best British accents.
Okay. That's great insight. I had no idea. No idea at all.
Yeah. We're very sensitive to it over here because we like our British actors to get all the British acting jobs. But they're all taken by Canadians and Australians.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Well, as for the song, I'm going to start out by mentioning that outside of the podcast and outside of the podcast recording, we did get some feedback saying that they thought these were going a little long. So I've been keeping my comments and my notes a little short. After hearing Chumpy's really well thought out and thorough notes, mine are going to be really paltry in comparison probably throughout. And here they are. So I like that this is packed full of XTC references without being an XTC sound alike. At least I don't think it's supposed to sound like XTC. It's when I think about XTC, I haven't heard a whole lot of them. I'm sure I had a couple of their albums, but never really got all of that into their entire discography. And I don't think this is supposed to be a sound alike, but I enjoy the song quite a bit. Some of those guitar tones are a little unpleasant. I know it's not the Mosquitar, which I've railed against in the past, but it is a little off to my ear. I do really, really like that trippy bridge, though. I thought it was, all in all, it's a really good song and I enjoyed it.
As a judge, this Spin Tunes, my views on the song are already in the public domain. We record this, as you said earlier, after the results are out. So I won't regurgitate what I said. But one thing I'm quite interested in getting out of this podcast as experienced judges yourselves is whether I was right or wrong to get quite so caught up in whether a song met the challenge or not. And this was one that I felt didn't really meet the challenge and couldn't be said to reasonably have been about or prominently mention a song, which I took to mean a song, singular. I thought multiple songs were fine, and Chumpy mentioned that it was about lots of XTC songs, and that's clear from the bio. I will admit, as a judge, I read the bio as I'm listening for the first time. I like to understand what I'm listening to. I don't enjoy quite so much listening and trying to work things out for myself. You know, there's a lot of songs to listen to. Time is short. Let's just kind of cut to the chase and just work out what we're listening to and why the words are what they are. So I knew it was using XTC songs, but I didn't feel that the references to the XTC songs were to the songs of XTC as opposed to just using the same words. So the words ball and chain are the title, they're in the title, they're in the chorus, and there is a song by XTC called Ball and Chain. But as far as I can tell, that song is about a construction site, and it's about construction equipment. This song bears no relation to that. It just uses the words ball and chain. And I'd be really interested to know, as experienced judges, whether you felt I was being pedantic, whether I went too far, whether I was wrong. I'm perfectly happy to be told I'm wrong. We'll come onto it later. But one competitor has reached out to me to tell me that I'm wrong and explain exactly why they think I'm wrong, which I was perfectly fine with. And he did it very nicely. It was a very nice conversation. But I'm interested to know, gets feedback on my judging, basically. This is all about me. But do you think the view was reasonable? Did it go too far? I feel very bad for Gizzo because I really liked the song. I thought it had a lot of energy. The sounds of the song were really right up my street. I think it would have ranked quite highly if I just didn't feel it met the challenge.
There's sort of like two schools of thought with this. And one of them is that if you can sort of say like, well, it's a song about a song. If this is a song about a group of songs or, again, like a discography or something, then it's also about a song. And it's just sort of like, okay, well, if I can check that box, if I can say that, I guess it sort of met the challenge, then that's fine enough for the thing, because they submitted a song and it was clearly sort of inspired by the challenge. On the other hand, the other school of thought is that, you know, back in the day, they used to disqualify songs, and that has sort of not happened, even with songs that there's a lot of consensus that it should be disqualified. In those cases, instead of actually disqualifying songs, they just rank them lower. I think judges just get their discretion with this. It's like, if you say, I don't think this met the challenge, then you can obviously go to the judge's chat and try and get them disqualified. But right now, I just don't think that's happening. I think what's happening is that people are just ranking them low.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no discussion in the judge's channel. I didn't go into them to say, hey guys, I think this doesn't meet the challenge. I think it should be disqualified. I was happy enough to leave it to each individual's discretion. And consequently, the three songs that I felt didn't meet the challenge were the lowest three songs in my rankings. But I was perfectly happy to let others make their own decision.
I'm pleased that judges are being pedantic about the challenge. I've always thought that it is very dangerous as a competitor to phone it in on the brief and to not meet it to the utmost, just because judges are looking for anything that they can ding you on. So if you phone in the challenge, it's a big risk. When you're faced with the prospect of having to numerically rank a bunch of excellent songs, as a judge, you're looking for whatever you can to distinguish the songs. So you ignore the brief at your peril.
I don't think the three songs that I felt didn't meet the challenge phoned it in, per se. I think they were all good faith submissions. I think they were what they felt was a format or a song that met the brief, but their view of what the brief meant was obviously different to mine, and indeed my view seems to be different to all of the other judges as well. To be fair, this challenge was my idea, so I thought this challenge up over the summer. So I had a very clear idea in my head what type of song would meet the challenge. And the other judges just have what's written down. I didn't write the challenge. I just came up with the concept and Micah wrote the actual words. But I think I had a very clear idea as to what met the challenge and what didn't meet the challenge. And perhaps the other judges had a little bit more leeway because they didn't have that kind of pre-existing intent.
Yeah, I also think as a judge, it is greatly influenced by what you personally think of the challenge and what your expectations are. So in your case, it definitely makes sense. If you come up with the idea and you feel that some people are not implementing it in a way that meets your expectations, then it seems perfectly natural to weigh a little bit heavier on indexing on the challenge rather than just what you thought of the overall music.
I think where I got to was, I didn't think I was serving a purpose as a judge if I felt something didn't meet the challenge as well as others had met the challenge, or potentially didn't meet the challenge at all, if I didn't stick by that. There's no purpose to me.
Yeah. And we'll get to this later, but I feel like one song in particular absolutely crushed the challenge and did an amazing job at rendering your vision, I think. So, but yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah. The songs are really good in general. So trying to find any excuse you can to rank one over another is totally fair game. Especially with a strong group of songs, it's going to be hard to find things to ding people on. So I think any of that's fair.
I thought any of the songs could have won. I think I put in the introduction to my reviews, any of these songs could genuinely win. They are all excellent songs. I think the relative nature of the rankings hadn't really occurred to me before I had to actually rank things as a judge. I understand I like this song, I don't like this song, therefore this song is higher than this song. But actually, when you like them all, you have to put things relative to each other. It's not objective, it's not even subjective, it's relative. It's a relative process whereby things have to be above or below something else. It hadn't struck me how difficult that is.
Yeah, and sometimes you're comparing apples with oranges. It's like you'll have this nice, sweet, slow song that's got a beautiful vocal, and then you're going to have to compare it to a total rocker that you'll want to rock out to, and you feel differently about both of them, but strongly about both. So it's like, how are you going to rank one against another? It's crazy.
It's difficult.
Yeah. Sucks to be a judge.
Yeah.
Thank you, judges.
Poor me. Poor us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, should we move on?
Let's do it.
Okay.